The title of is Investing in Our Health of Our Students and Economic Well-Being of Detroit Community. I have nothing to disclose. I worked in Washington for 10 years, so the additional part of that sentence is, to the best of my recollection, I have nothing to disclose. Tony did such a good job to tell you about what Farms to School is. So I'm going to kind of bump through these slides and let you get to the good part of it. Procurement of local foods is really a good part of Farm to School for us in Detroit. In 2000, these ladies accosted me and said, why isn't Detroit? It was a call. You did a call. You know you took me to a very nice lunch. And that's how we really got engaged with School Food Focus and Farm to School. I don't think it was new at the time, but I think it was one of her surrogates that did it. But the outcome of what we've done for 2 years now is procurement of local foods. For Food Day, everybody celebrated Food Day last week? Don't tell me you didn't know. Yeah, okay. What we did was an acorn squash grown and processed by a family farm in Cape Pack, Michigan. And here, again, here's our mitten, and Cape Pack, Michigan is right there. And then we purchased blueberries grown and processed in Holland, Michigan, which is up on the west side of the state. So, you know, we're the state of Blackwater, Amway, the whole nine yards. Nutrition education, our food system is very important. That's what Farm Schools allowed us to do. This photograph just shows some of my kids who went on a walking field trip to the local grocery store. Although we're a food desert, there are some grocery stores in our area where if you work with the community, you engage the community, this farmer ensured that these kids would have a good opportunity to purchase local as well as other foods, fresh produce out of his store. It's in the Detroit, contrary to popular belief, has three distinct ethnic groups in Detroit, African-American, Middle Easterner, and Hispanics. And this is in the Hispanic part of our town. Community and parental involvement is very important, and that's what Farm to School has allowed us to do. Saturday shopping at Eastern Market. Eastern Market is a farmer's market, one of the oldest farmer's markets in the United States. And on Saturdays, you know, part of my consumer education dealing with my parents is going to Eastern Market with my parents and shopping with them through, we have a couple good programs, Fair Food Network. Orrin Hesterman has something called the Fair Food Double Up Bucks. I don't know if you've heard of that program. Well, what we did in Detroit Public Schools, I took some of my nutrition ed dollars, and if the parent would come to a session, I would give the parent a coupon that they could then redeem for Double Up Bucks and shop for produce. What's great about this group of parents, half of them were non-English speaking. So to take them to the Eastern Market, to bring them out of the community, and then expose them to fresh fruits and vegetables was great. Down below is an Urban Roots class sponsored by our Garden Resource Program in Detroit. I went to the class because if I'm going to do this thing, I had to get my skills up. The lady that's in that pink, is that a school board member? I got my school board member engaged, or she got me engaged. So that was important to us as well. Now, I'm going to skip through some of this stuff, but I wanted to tell you about Michigan. I'm real proud to be from Michigan because of our commitment with our Good Food Charter. I was able to work with that group, and we established a goal in Michigan that 20% of the food products we were going to purchase from Michigan growers and from processors by 2020. This has become a goal that I think is going to be attainable. Michigan, again, our Farm to School, I have to give it credit for a lot of the things that it has done. And we've been around a long time at Farm to School, although Detroit Public Schools wasn't there. We didn't come until after 2009. But you look at some of the compelling reasons why, and you can see over the last 5 years, they really haven't changed. Michigan people, and I'm proud, as farmers, are very committed to this Farm to School for the two reasons of what's happening in our state. I don't know if many people know that. Over the last 10 years, we slipped from being 18th in the nation as one of the best states to live to number 34 in 10 years. 1 in 5 people in the state of Michigan are on food stamps. So, trying to invest in our economy and our resources is very important to us. this is a picture of how Farmer School has grown in Michigan, and I'm right down here in Detroit.
Wow.
Cool.
And even in the UP, where there's nothing but trees and bears, well, it's true. And these are some of the products that our state has developed and the Farm to School program has given us to help me. This chart right here is my Bible in terms of how we develop our menu planning around what's available in our state. Michigan produce availability, and what we're finding out, and the darndest thing about Michigan, the best stuff is available when schools close. So we've got to look at ways to process food so that we can have it when fall comes. Right now, we do the best that we can. Now, getting started, local food purchasing assessment, we have to do our check out our motivations, our current food service operations and purchasing. When you get into, and this is the thing that, you know, I think the Let's Move campaign is wonderful, and I think Sam Katz is the greatest thing since high tops to choose, but if he comes into my school district, the only thing he's going to see when he walks into my kitchen is an oven, a convection oven that brings foods up to temperature. And he may see an electric convection steamer thanks to the stimulus money. But he's not going to see an open flame. There's not going to be saute flames. There's not going to be any chef knives. And better than that, there's not going to be any chefs. Because he's going to see employees who used to be lunch moms who work anywhere from 3 to 4 hours a day, who right now who are being attacked because we dare pay them retirement. So you know what's happening in Wisconsin and all the other things. Oh, don't forget, the school lunch ladies are rolled up into that, too. So we're looking at a labor situation where we're not growing our labor base. We're really shrinking our labor base. When you walk into my kitchen, one of the things you're going to see is a freezer, and then another freezer, and then another freezer. Because it's all processed food. It's processed. We're working with the USDA now, and we're working with manufacturers now. The Royal Society. One of the things that we don't do in Detroit anymore, we don't serve hot dogs, we don't serve corn dogs. We don't serve. Okay, we changed our bread to whole wheat. Our menu, whatever you see in the front of that notebook I gave you, that's it. We're sticking to it. We killed our fryers about 2 years ago. We don't do any fried food in Detroit. Tony the Tiger was dismissed from the district. We don't serve him and Toucan Sam, so we don't serve ready sweetened cereals. We've gone to things like Kashi's and yogurts and things like that to try to show people that even if you have a pre-cooked program or individually wrapped program, and we have to do that for food safety reasons. By the way, I have to mention, we have universal breakfast in our classrooms. The FRAC Association Food and Research Action Committee listed as number 2 in the nation. It serves the largest majority of poor children.
Really?
So 6 in 10 of our children eat breakfast with us. 8 in 10 eat lunch. And here's a number that's going to startle you. 1 in 7 eat supper. Understand that. And this isn't a district 70,000 kids. This is 180,000 10 years ago. But those are the kind of things that we're confronted with. There's no real barriers, because we take the attitude in Detroit, there's no barriers, and there's really any, you know, there are challenges, so let's look at what they are. I could not have done any of this without being prodded and pushed along and shoved along by partners. Some of them, I didn't kick and scream that much. I did, though, because I recognized that was going to take a lot of effort. And we have partners, really nice. And we have good partners. One of my best partners is the Eastern Market Corporation. The Eastern Market Corporation, when you go into farming school, it really helps to know somebody that knows farmers. So the Eastern Market Corporation is where our farmers come on Saturdays to have a farmer's market. Then we also had Food System, the other one up in the corner, Food Systems. They were the kind of guidance, taught us how to ride the bicycle, and then they let us go. Greening of Detroit has been very helpful. I've engaged in all of these groups. Now, the biggest one there is the Michigan Department of Education. Can anybody guess why they're so important? They're our funders. And you're going to do what they say, or you're not going to get any money. And of course, Carol Foundation has this invisible hand that makes everything happen in this whole farm to school effort. And United Way now is one of my newest partners, mm-hmm. and they're getting involved in terms of ensuring access for children. Visiting food sites and sources and gardens and all of that stuff. When at first I thought I could be independent because I didn't like, you know, people pushing me around as a food service person. And so I went out and I started visiting gardens. And I got so nervous. This is my garden for my local school. I live in Detroit. And I said, you know, I can't proselytize, tell people off. I don't have responsibility for a garden. So that's a photo of it in the wintertime. And then this is our brand of school and this is the garden. Well, I found out how much work it took to do a garden and do everything else that I do. But I knew that the USDA said that I could invest in school gardens as a child nutrition program if a reasonable amount of that produce was put into the school meal plan. Well, all of a sudden, farm to school took on another dimension. It wasn't just about buying from farmers. It became school garden education. It became just so many other things. It became community engagement. It became things that I was not expert in, but so, this group right here, these are the people that helped me drive my program. And any success that I have in Detroit Public Schools with this program, I have to give them full credit and equal share credit. This is the fun part. I go to the Easter Market and I meet farmers and I get all this stuff and I just thought I was really good. And then I had to go back and say, you know, guys, can you all help me do this? Because every Saturday now, I'm doing things that I just can't do as well as I thought I could. So the partner, and I go back to that photo to say, it's because of my partners that any success that we've had has been fully supported. We started in 2009. In September, we started a pilot with 22 schools with guidance from one of our partners. The first thing we did was acorn swaps. I thought it would just be great the kids have acorn squash because I always loved it until I found out that when you do acorn squash for 4,400 kids, it's not like when you do it for two people in your home. Mm-hmm. And so we were cutting squash and I said, no, this is not going to work. So we kind of went away from this class. I said, okay, so that kind of upset me for a while. But then we started formalizing ourselves and formulating the strategy and started seeking out the partners. Seeking out the parties have been the most important thing. The book that you have, that some of you have before you, was developed from all these experiences that I just had. I was fortunate to run into a web video from that was Gail Christopher, who was the vice president at Kellogg. And I, you know, how you're sitting near your desk, you hear something. And she said, the quality of food that's available in the schools are a reflection of the community school, as community foods. And that's when I recognized that farm to school was not just about us putting the tray across the kids. If we're going to do a holistic approach and we're going to impact the health and well-being of the kids, it's going to be all of us doing a lot of things. We developed our 10 principles specifically with two of them related to the fresh fruits and vegetables. The challenges I have are, I can do it. I mean, quite simply. I mean, I served acorn squash the other day. It cost me 50 cents a serving. You guys don't worry about that, but I do. Because I run, contrary to what you know, school food service programs are break-even businesses ran in school districts. We get no dollars from education. If we don't break even, we find ourselves outsourced. So I'm a school lunch lady with a $43 million business that I have to run at break even or a profit, or I put the jobs of 1,136 people at risk. So we keep those things in mind. But I still also have this whole dietitian altruism thing, the reason I went to school kind of stuff. Make sure we do the right things by kids. So we had acorn squash the other day. I generally budget on my vegetable at 30 cents. Acorn squash cost me 52 cents a serving. Not only did I have to go buy it locally, which cost you more, because I could have went down to the terminal and got it $10 a case cheaper, but then that kind of messed up this whole thing. And these are the kind of things that Tony's helping us work on. We bought it,
Then I had to re-spec it again. So I bought it at purchase, and then I had to write another spec and said, oh, by the way, those 805 cases, now I want you to bring them into your facility, cut them horizontally, seal them, and then cryovac them, so when they come to my kitchen, all my ladies have to do is open it up and put it in a steamer. Because it's a chicken, do I use the labor to process the food, or what do I do? I buy stored labor. I learned that's the economics. It's the only thing I know about economics is stored labor, that you buy prepared foods because the labor is stored on the shelf and you don't have to figure it in. All right? So that was the kind of thing that you have to think about. The procurement regulations, you haven't lived until you looked at school lunch. 7 CFR, federal regulation, gives a whole book. And we have to deal with all those regulations, but most of the time we're learning to overcome those things. I'm not worried about the food quality. I'm not worried about seasonality. I worry most about volume. Are there enough farmers out there to supply the food that I need? And packaging. I don't worry about distribution because I know I can't deal with a farmer. So I have a broad line distributor that does mine. But I'm worried about, as Dan told me, Dan Carmody is president of the Eastern Market, says, Betty, I don't know if there's enough people in Michigan to produce enough food for you. Mm-hmm. Like, Dan, don't tell me that. The only person, a bigger purchaser than you is the Department of Corrections. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Detroit Public Schools is the institution. Mm-hmm. Only one person bigger is the Department of Correction. I just think if you aggregate all the schools together, we're going to have a problem with local food and purchasing local food. Menu plan is not a problem. Ordering and payment has not been a problem. So, processing and labor, and then, serving things raw, we served asparagus. The kids are not a problem. So, stop with, they won't eat it. You introduce it. You start them young. And then your high schoolers, middle schoolers, they got their problems anyway. But if they ever latch on to something, they'll, my middle schoolers recognized acorn squash as the new sweet potato. And they ate it and they had fun with it. So, I want to go to the lessons learned was that we have to work with partners. Mm-hmm. If this thing is going to get on the ground, no one person, the expertise that I don't have on my staff, that I can't afford to have on my staff, is being provided by my partners. I'm now beginning to work with science education because they're finally getting it. A healthy child cannot learn. So they're working with me. I'm working with other people in terms of summer feeding with the United Way for Access. And the cost of local produce, that's what I'm in the business of, menu planning. How do I provide this? What else happened? I'm getting more vegetarian meals. Kids have to eat more beans if they're going to eat more, local grown produce. I'm partnering with Grand Rapids Public Schools so that we can have a joint menu so we can create a bigger basket. You don't know Michigan. I-96 is a big highway. There's a lot of schools you can collect and put in that basket. So Paul and I are working together. We're coordinating with things like School Forecast and Procurement Consortium for Procurement. One of the things that I'm most proud of is that bottom one, the DPS Nutrition Service Enterprise Unit. We're no longer the Office of Food Service. Okay. We're taking on charter schools, we're taking on small districts, we're meeting our governor right in the middle of the road that says, you guys got to share services. So food service is doing that. And all of this and all the excitement that we have around it was driven by the Healthy and Hunger-Free Act, protecting more children and healthy local produce through farm to school. But farm to school is just not about an apple. There's a whole bunch of other things that we can do to serve as a hub for healthy outcomes for our kids. And in the bottom, what we say in my department is that it takes more than books for kids to learn. And we're finally convincing people of that. So thank you.